First of all, I want you to know, as you will discover in just a few moments, that you are extraordinarily lucky this evening, because we are soon to have a guest who, it could be argued, knows more about love than just about anyone else in the world. But when he walks in, I'll let him tell you about it. And in the meantime, I'd like to explain to you why I'm not talking about what I was going to talk about. I had this idea originally that I was going to talk about falling in love not with people, but other things that we fall in love with. Falling in love with ideas or books or scenery or art. And I began to think about what the difference was between falling in love with those things and falling in love with a person. It seemed obvious. One's an object and one's a person. But let's push it a little bit beyond the obvious and say, what's the difference between falling in love passionately, for example, with a book or a song or something even better, like a ballad by Sinatra, and falling in love with a person? And the answer, of course, is that when you fall in love with something that remains static, even though it grows with you, the growth is entirely inside you. It may be that when you hear a song or read a book, it's different at 10 and 20 and 30 and 50 and 70 and 90, but the words on the page are the same. It's just that you see more in them, that you've grown more, so you love differently. But love with a person happens in the spaces between the two. It's reciprocal. You can't be in a relationship of love and have only one person grow. In fact, Virginia Woolf said, that's why so many couples fall apart, because, in her words, people change and they forget to tell each other. And people do change. And sometimes they change together and sometimes apart and sometimes in DNA spirals where they touch and move apart. But a relationship of love is dynamic, never static. Even if it appears to be staying the same, it's changing. And that, of course, isn't true with something that you love. It stays the same, even though you grow and see it differently day by day and week by week. So in some sense, even though it isn't necessarily expressed this way, falling in love is creating a pact to grow. Or you're not falling in love. And that, it seems to me, is the great difference. And in our tradition, even though it doesn't seem that way, there is this idea that there's a dynamism inside God, and that you can love God because, in some way that's not literal but is very real, God grows with you. God changes as you change, and the relationship changes. And what you can accept and what you can give, they're different. And the same thing is true with people. It doesn't matter how much you love a song, the notes will stay the same. When you love a person, they're going to change. And now let me tell you about a person that has changed me. Close to 15 years ago, I first had the privilege of coming each week to the home of Kirk Douglas to study Torah with him. And for about the first 7 or 8 years, we went through the entire Torah twice, actually the Tanakh, almost every book. Then we studied a little bit of the New Testament, a little bit of the Quran, and now we just talk. But I want to tell you what it's like to study Torah with Kirk Douglas. I want to tell you one story, and then I'm going to let him talk to you. This is what it's like when you sit and study Torah with Kirk Douglas. We were studying the book of Esther. And in the book of Esther, you know, Esther is prepared to greet the king by the eunuchs, because that's who prepares the queen, because, you know, the king has proprietary interests here. So we're studying this, and all of a sudden, he says to me, "I see the movie." Now, this was 4 years ago, so he was only 90 years old at the time. He said to me, "I see the movie." I said, "What's the movie?" He said, "Okay, I'm one of the eunuchs preparing Esther, but I'm not really a eunuch." Here's the man who has made love on screen to more than almost any other star, and off screen, I wouldn't say. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Kirk Douglas.
And I were talking, and I said, I remember it was fun. I came with a lot of young people. I would like to do it again. So he said, "How about tomorrow?" So here I am. Yeah. Thank you. You know, I was very busy all day watching TV. I wanted to know what was happening in Egypt. Mubarak finally resigned. Now, I met Mubarak years ago. I was in Israel. I had a luncheon with Rabin, a great guy, and had never been to Egypt. So I went to Egypt, to Cairo, and the president was Sadat. He sent his plane to pick me up in Cairo and take me to Ismailia, where he was. We had a wonderful meeting. That was a great guy. You know, look, he went to Jerusalem, and he got back the whole Sinai. The Sinai is much bigger than the land of Israel. So I had a nice talk with Sadat, and when I left him to go to the private airport, Mubarak, I didn't know who he was at the time, was coming off the plane. He introduced himself, and we shook hands. Of course, it was not long after that Sadat was assassinated. Because I think maybe I'm a jinx. Because, not really, I knew Rabin very well. I had a friendship with Zia, the president of Pakistan. I became a friend of Sadat, and they were all assassinated. So,
JFK.
Oh yes, I knew President Kennedy I didn't do anything wrong. As a matter of fact, do you mind if I sit down? You know, it's very handy. It could have a handy rabbi. But listen, the theme, as I understand, today is love. So I want to tell you that I met my wife in Paris years ago. I was doing a picture there, and then I invited her to come to America. And when she was going to leave, I suddenly said, "Will you marry me?" And I was doing a picture at that time. So after the picture, the work was through, we went to Las Vegas, and we got married in the 15th floor of some building by a justice of the peace who came from Texas, and he was wearing a cowboy hat, and he was marrying us. Now, I thought my wife spoke perfect English, so when he said with his Texas drawl, "Repeat after me, Ann, I am J.D. Kirk, and my lawful wedded husband." Ann said, "I am take me Kirk as my awful wedded husband." We almost didn't get married. But it was a hectic wedding, but I said this, honey. I will give you a second wedding. I did. 50 years later. Yes. 50 years later, I said, we'll get married. And she said, "Before I do, I want to convert to Judaism." I said, "Why? You don't have to do that." Yes, she said, I said, "Talk to my rabbi, Rabbi Volpe." And they had a lunch together. And Rabbi also said to her, "You're a very, very religious girl. You don't have..." "No," she said, "I want to." So he explained to her what she had to do, you know, and the prayer, and that she had to be naked and immersed in the pool. And she said, "All the way?" And Rabbi said, so she said, "What about my hair?" But she did it, she went all the way, "Oh, Papa do." Well, we got married the second time. There were about 200-300 people in the Greystone area, and Rabbi Wolpe presided. And that was before I got my new knees, and it was hard for me to walk. So when the rabbi was marrying us, and then they came to the time to break the glass, I couldn't break it. And everybody was looking at me, so I took my cane and I broke that glass. And we were married for the second time. You know, I'm not a pious Jew, as Rabbi Wolpe would attest. I studied the Torah, the Bible, because it's so dramatic. I realize why they make so many pictures of the Bible. Dramatic stories. But there are certain things that get me. I will never forget Shabbos. My mother, a Russian illiterate immigrant from Russia, who came with two candlesticks that her mother had given her. So those candlesticks must have been at least 200 years old. And I used to light the candles and say the bracha every Friday night. And I thought, no matter what religion you believe in, that's a good thing to do. You know, the week is over and give you a chance to think about things, to thank God for good things and hope for better things. And when my wife married me the second time, now she was Jewish, she learned the bracha for lighting the candle, and just about an hour ago, she lit the candles, she had said the prayers, and I said, we have been married for 57 years, and I love you. Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me.
As Mr. Douglas is leaving, I'll just tell you that when I asked his wife why it is that she decided to convert, she said, because after 50 years, he should finally marry a Jew.